You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. It's great to have with us Hans von Spakovsky, one of the great legal minds of our time, certainly a man with considerable experience in some of the public policy issues that are shaping our time, notably matters involving immigration and voter fraud. He comes to these by virtue of, in part, service in the United States Justice Department as a counsel to the Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights. He's also served for 2 years as a member of the Federal Election Commission. These days, he is serving on the President's Commission examining voter fraud. And he is a great resource, a good friend, and a man we're always pleased to have with us as a guest. Hans, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes to join us.
Frank, it's great to talk to you again.
Let's start with the sanctuary cities issue. Hans, I have to say, this is one of those things that just drives me to distraction because it would seem on the face of it to be such an affront to our rule of law in this country. What on earth is going on here? And where do things stand now that the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, has put the hammer down on these cities and I guess even states that are trying to willfully ignore federal law?
Well, the latest is a lawsuit filed by the city of Chicago. What the Attorney General has said is the Justice Department gets about $4 billion a year from Congress to give out to states and local governments in grants. These are discretionary grants. You know, these aren't entitlement funds. These are discretionary grants. Cities have to apply for it. And it's supposed to be used to improve, you know, their law enforcement and security, et cetera. What the Attorney General said was, if you're going to apply for these funds, you have to certify that you are going to be in compliance with federal laws.
It seems like a fairly modest but necessary step, doesn't it? What is going on with these sanctuary cities and their willingness to take federal money but not to comply with the prerequisites, namely compliance with federal law, Hans?
Well, one of the federal laws they're talking about is there's a provision in the Federal Immigration Act that says that localities like Chicago can't forbid their local law enforcement from exchanging information with the feds on the citizenship status of individuals, particularly people who've arrested. So in other words, you know, they can't tell the chief of police in Chicago, you cannot talk to federal immigration authorities if you arrest an illegal alien. You can't do that. That's not asking a lot. Chicago got last year a little over $2 million from the feds through one of these grants and said, well, you can't do that. You can prohibit us from banning our folks from talking to you. The other thing they objected to was the Justice Department also said, if you're going to get one of these grants, you have to agree that to the extent you can, you will notify us, the federal government, 48 hours before you release an illegal alien. So if somebody, if an illegal alien in Chicago has been arrested for assault, for example, and sentenced to 6 months in jail, well, 2 days before they're going to let him out, they've got to notify the feds. Why? So the feds can come pick him up and deport him. And Chicago objected to that too. You know what's so odd about that, Frank, if you think about it, is a lot of these criminal illegal aliens have extensive criminal records. You know, they're not in jail once. They are repeat criminals. And yet, what is Rahm Emanuel saying? He's saying, I would rather that these criminal aliens be re-released into our local community where they can then victimize more residents in further crimes. I'd rather they be released back in our community than have to call the federal government so they can be picked up and deported. And that's what they're suing about. They're saying these conditions that the feds are putting in are just too much, and they want a judge to say Jeff Sessions can't do this.
Yeah, even in advance of him actually doing anything, as I understand it, which is its own problems from the legal standpoint. Let me ask you, Hans von Spakovsky, when you talk about this, it seems as though the public must not agree with what is being done in their name, especially since I assume that these sanctuary cities actually prove to be magnets for more of these folks who are going to understand very well that they're not going to be turned over to ICE. They're likely to be able to continue not only to live in those communities, but also to prey upon the people in them. Is that right?
It is. In fact, the polling on this shows pretty clearly that a majority of the American people don't like the idea that illegal aliens are going to be protected. Criminal illegal aliens are going to be protected and given more rights than ordinary citizens. But, this is apparently the politically correct thing to do. There are a lot of advocacy groups like La Raza and others who help support these kind of Democratic mayors. And I got to tell you, a lot of this, too, is, and we know this is a problem in Chicago, it is easy for a non-citizen to register, to vote, and their chances of getting detected are just about nil, because the city of Chicago does absolutely nothing to actually verify that you're a citizen when you register to vote. And I can tell you, a lot of Democrats like Rahm Emanuel, they want non-citizens in the country. They want them registering. They want them voting. They see it as a political power advantage to them. And they know the polling again shows non-citizens break about 80%, 20% Democrat versus Republican.
Well, this brings us to the next topic, which is, of course, your considerable experience with trying to root out and otherwise stop voting fraud. Notably, the book you co-authored with John Fund, Who's Counting? How Fraudsters and Bureaucrats Put Your Vote to Risk, and of course, your present service on the President's Commission on Voter Fraud. What on earth is the story there as well? Do people not appreciate? I was listening this morning to a program that talks about how they're going to let non-citizens vote in local elections. I think this is not necessarily new news, but it is extraordinary, isn't it, Hans, that we're watching the unraveling of the value of citizenship in this country in a way. If somebody who doesn't belong here can vote, it neutralizes mine, doesn't it?
It certainly does, but that's the push from the progressive left and has been for years. Look, about 20 years ago, they realized that the only way to cement their political power was to bring as many non-citizens of the country as possible. And part of that is getting them to vote. And all of that is part of this whole push that they have done in the media and elsewhere to extinguish the line between legal immigration and illegal immigration. You know, if you're against illegal immigration, you're labeled as a racist, you know, a white supremacist, which of course is not true. We are the biggest and best country in the world when it comes to legal immigration. We take in more than a million legal immigrants a year. The fact that folks like me and the majority of Americans want to actually enforce our immigration laws against illegal immigration just means that we believe in the rule of law and we don't want an extinguishing between the lines. But that is exactly what the progressive left is pushing for, and that's why they want to basically give all the rights of citizenship to people who are here as non-citizens, even those who are here illegally, and that's why they're now starting with giving them the right to vote.
There is no question, and it sounds in your mind, and certainly in mine, that there is voting fraud taking place, and it is being done purposefully to skew the vote and neutralize those of many of us who are entitled to vote in the interest of the Democratic Party, it would seem. Hans von Spakovsky, you're exposing these facts, these hard facts, and helping at the Heritage Foundation counteract them as well as in your other capacities. It's deeply appreciated. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. Come back to us again, please, very soon. Christine Bim joins us next. We'll talk about free speech, what's left of it in America, and more straight ahead.